Have you ever had something to eat? Well, yes, you have. But something that was so good that while you were eating it, you knew, didn't you, that it was one of the most wonderful things you've ever eaten. But you also knew that when you finished it, you would feel really guilty about it too. Like the Cheesecake Factory. You know, cheesecake is one of those things. But maybe it was the fact that you just consumed a day's worth of calories in one meal or in one dessert, or that you knew that later on that thing you ate was going to wage war on your digestive tract. You loved it, but you knew it was bad for you. In our text from Genesis 3, Adam and Eve really just finished one of those meals, something that they knew would be good, but also knew would be terrible for them. When God first created Adam, he placed him in the Garden of Eden in order to work it and to keep it. And then he gave Adam the command, look, there's all these trees. Eat from whatever tree you desire, but don't eat from that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day that you eat it, you will surely die. After this, God creates Eve, and then we are told of Adam and Eve that they become one flesh, husband and wife, and that the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, in Genesis here, they literally are naked, but at the same time, this word is used to describe the sense that there was no shame, no guilt, because those things didn't exist yet. Because there was no sin. It was a perfect union. They were unified perfectly with each other, also perfectly unified with God. It was, as Genesis says, all good. But then things go wrong. Satan, wandering about as a serpent, finds Eve in the garden one day and convinces her to eat from the one tree that they're not supposed to eat from. She knows that she's not supposed to do it, but she falls for the devil's empty false promises. So she eats the fruit, she passes it to Adam, Adam takes a bite, and bam, their eyes are opened and they see that they are indeed naked. And part of that realization is the sense that there is unbelief. There is disobedience towards God. And in them, in Adam and Eve, is created this sense of shame and guilt. There is now separation, not only between each other, but between God. And what once were beautifully perfect relationships, they're now full of discord and strife. And as we will see in our text from Genesis this morning, the shame and the guilt lead to distrust and blame. So in our text this morning, aware of their guilt and their disobedience towards God, Adam and Eve, they hear the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And they hide themselves from the presence, literally from the face of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hide. Such is the result of sin. Adam and Eve, in their guilt, do not want to face God. They hide themselves from His face. They know their disobedience, and so they hide, as if God, who created the very trees that they are hiding behind, cannot see where they are. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" It seems a little silly, doesn't it, that God would ask a question. We know that God knows all things. We confess this. We know that God knows what has happened. We know that God knows what is done in secret. Jeremiah 23 testifies to this. Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? To think that we could possibly hide our sin, our shame, our guilt from God is really preposterous. I think we would all agree with this, right? That you can't hide from God. Yet, we try, don't we? We try. Rob Bell, a former pastor from Michigan, tells this story about his young son, who one day was caught in his sin. His mom asked him where a ball came from, and he said, I don't know. And mom says, no, you do know. And it turns out that his son had stolen this ball from a neighbor who came looking for it, but the kid said he didn't know where it was. And so caught in his guilt, caught in his sin, this boy runs upstairs to mom and dad's room, closes the door, and hides under the comforter in the heat of the day. And his mom just kind of left him up there waiting for dad to come home. And when dad came home, he went upstairs, and it was immediately obvious that there was a lump underneath the blanket. A perfectly child-sized lump under the blanket. Who wouldn't recognize it? The kid thought he was hiding, yet there he was, sweaty, sticky, teary, clearly uncomfortable. But in his mind, it was easier to hide and to believe he couldn't be seen rather than face up to the wrong he had done. A child clearly hiding behind the curtains won't believe that they are found or can be seen until you pull the curtains away. Elsie can hide behind the curtains, be giggling, her toes sticking out from the bottom. It's clear she's there, but she believes that you can't see her until you pull it away. God asks the question, where are you? And for Adam, it is pulling away the curtain. It's a question that God shouldn't have to ask. A question that God has never once asked before, and now he has to ask it. It signifies that the relationship has been changed. And this one question, this powerful word from God, drives Adam out of his hiding. And Adam says, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Adam can't hide the fact that he is guilty, that he has shame, and he admits to the shame, but he doesn't actually confess to any sin. He can't help but acknowledge that he is naked, that there is shame there, that there is separation, but he doesn't ever say what he's done. God presses him, though, and says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Again, God knows the answer to the question. He knows what Adam has done. Psalm 90 tells us that God sets our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of his presence. And that's what he's doing to Adam here. He's telling Adam by way of rhetorical question exactly what Adam has done. He's laying it out before him. Have you eaten of the tree I told you not to eat? I'm very good at these kind of rhetorical questions. I use them all the time for my camp staff when I worked at Park River Bible Camp, because you work with 18, 19, 20-year-olds, you know things are going to go down that shouldn't go down. When you put a bunch of them in a place together, things happen. I got very good at asking rhetorical questions to which I already knew the answer to. Did you stack the tables on top of each other and put them in front of the door of that cabin? The only answer to their question was yes. At this point, God asks him, "Have you eaten from the tree?" And the smart thing for Adam to say would be, "Why, yes, Lord, I ate from the tree that you commanded me not to eat from. Please forgive me." But Adam isn't done hiding yet. He's not hiding behind the trees anymore. Instead, he chooses to hide behind other people. It's this weird combination of shame and pride, and so it causes him to change tactics. He tells God, "The woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit, and I ate it. Lord, I'm a passive victim here. You put this woman here with me. She picked the fruit. What was I supposed to do? She gave it to me. Am I supposed to turn down the gift of others? No, I ate it. It's not my fault." You see what he does there? He not only blames Eve, but he blames God for putting her there in the first place. "You gave her to me. You deal with her." Turning to the woman, God says, "What is this you have done?" And she replies to God, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." She does the same thing. They don't take ownership for their sin. Hiding in the trees wasn't good enough. They try to hide behind others. They don't take ownership for the guilt that is upon them. If we can't hide from God, we'll blame Him or blame someone else. Maybe we did wrong, but it was only because we were the passive victim. "I was pushed into this. You put me in this situation. I was tricked. I was deceived. It wasn't my fault." Parents, we've heard this many times, haven't we? Teachers, you've heard this many times. From the very beginning, we have been hiding from God. And we hide because we know we are guilty. We know that before God, we are living out what everyone's worst nightmare is, to show up naked to the party. Before God, we are exposed. God knows what has been done in secret. He knows our deeds and our thoughts. Perhaps in our twisted belief that we can possibly hide from God, we hide because we carry this thought, this belief, that if God truly knew who we are and what we have done, He could not possibly love us. If God knew my past, if God knows what I have done, there's no way He could love me anymore. But God does love us. And His love for us is evidenced from the very beginning in this text itself. After talking to Adam and Eve, God says to the serpent, "Cursed are you among all animals. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat." This is more than just the invention of snakes. When a person eats dust, it is a sign of humility, a sign of shame, a sign of defeat. It's the same thing that a foreign ruler who has been defeated in battle would be forced to bow down and put their face in the dirt before the king who defeated them. They are eating dust because they have been defeated. God here proclaims victory over Satan long before the events that are going to take place to achieve that victory do take place. From the very beginning, God proclaims victory over Satan. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Now again, this is more than the invention of women hating snakes, okay? That might be part of this, but it's more than that. This last verse, this Genesis 3:15, is what's called the first promise of the gospel. It's the first promise of what God has in store for His people. The first hint of God's plan of redemption, of bringing out Satan's defeat, of bringing about the defeat of sin, death, and the devil. From the very beginning, God has planned to do something for us. And through the offspring of Adam and Eve, He would deliver to us His Son, Jesus Christ. And though He would be tortured and crucified, His death would be like being struck on the heel. But through His death, through His resurrection, His victory for you, He would crush the head of the serpent. Christ has died for you. He was raised for you to bring victory for you, to redeem you, to forgive your sin. We cannot hide from God, and no matter the depth of our shame and guilt, we do not need to. He sees us. He knows us full well, yet He loves us anyway. And before you had anything to hide from, God already had the plan in mind. He doesn't love us for who we are, He loves us because of who He is and who He makes us to be. He is our Creator, our Redeemer, who gives us His body and His blood for the forgiveness of sins, even to those who would hide from His sight. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for what You have done, what You promised for us so long before. Help us, Lord, to have the humility to confess our sins before You and the faith to know that You are a forgiving Father, that You have won for us forgiveness through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. We pray this in Your name. Amen.